Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com.
This is the Friday afternoon service of July the 4th, 1997, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Knoll is the speaker for the afternoon.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Now, you have to understand that Christian Science is neither Christian nor scientific. It is pure spiritualism. Mary Baker Eddy says, she says that the blood of Jesus Christ is no more efficient than the blood of anyone else. And she makes some other very strong statements that I can't repeat. I just can't let it come out of my mouth. And she has very derogatory, blasphemous statements to say about the blood of Jesus Christ. Christian scientists are not Christian. They're spiritualists. They do not believe evil exists. Now, that's a Hindu belief. That came out of Hinduism. Hindus don't believe that evil exists. They believe you see evil, you're seeing an illusion. And therefore, they can just walk by somebody being raped on the street. No, it's not really happening. That's just an illusion. And in the last 30 years, it's exploding in this country. We see spiritualism being accepted. There's a spiritualist camp less than 30 miles from my home. They tried to start in my hometown. They ran them out of town. And they settled in a little town about 30 miles away. And they had this spiritualist camp up there. And these people come in to be trained to be spiritualists. And recently, the chief of police tried to pass a law to forbid palm readers in the town. And the spiritualists took this and turned it around. All those people came in and cried in front of the city commission and told those good, fine people we have for city commissioners that this was their religion and why they couldn't worship their God like they wanted to and so forth and so forth and so forth. And they opened it up. They had their next spiritual camp down at the Ramada Inn, and we started... The three days, my prayer group, we had a 3-day fast, and we bound those spirits. And we bound, and we bound, and we fasted, and we bound. And they decided to have the meetings up at Sweat Wells after that. They opened it up. They had people to come in to get their readings and so forth. And we just sat and bound them, and we just bound them. We spoke confusion to their spirit guides. Amen. Now, you have to realize, most of the time, you can generally say that God will not set you free from your friends, only your enemies. And if you don't want your demon to leave, he won't leave.
Amen.
Now, there are exceptions to that. There's an exception to that in Scripture. Let's look at Acts. Acts 19, I think it is. This is a Scripture that I read to God 8 or 10 times a day to remind him that, here it is, it's 16, verse 6, chapter, Acts 16, 6. It happens they went to pray, a certain slave girl possessed with a python or spirit of divination met us who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who claim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. You notice she was telling the truth. But Paul, greatly annoyed, distressed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when our masters realized that they lost, that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Now, you notice from that him was a slave girl who was earning her masters much money by divination, fortune-telling, and Paul bound the spirit in her and cast it out of her. And she lost her ability, and she didn't agree to that. She was following along behind Paul, hoping that when they left, that she would be considered the new source of authority. Or perhaps that she thought people see and say, "Look, same old thing. There's a divination girl going behind them. She's in cahoots with them." So one way or the other, it was going to cast, I've heard it told both ways, and I really don't know which one's right, but I know either way it would cast dispersions on the Church of Jesus Christ. And so Paul turned and said, and he took authority of that spirit and cast it out. And that's what I read that scripture to God, and we stood on that scripture, and we bound those things, and we bound the familiar spirits and the mediums, and we spoke confusion to them. We spoke dumbness and deafness and confusion. We said their words would be confused, that they would be wandering, they'd be blind, they wouldn't be able to see, and they would speak gibberish. Whatever happened, those people, they didn't have a good experience there because they thought their time had come, boy, that they were moving into the big time. And they moved back out to their camp. Praise the Lord. I still pray and ask God to save those people. Now, spiritualism, Christian Science, hypnosis, New Age, mind control, yoga, and transcendental meditation are all New Age types of religions. They require that you meditate, that you empty your mind, that you concentrate, that you hypnotize yourself by staring at two objects on the wall or repeating a mantra over and over again to empty your mind. Or they give you a riddle that can't be solved to contemplate. And say, well, you've all heard the sound of two hands clapping. Consider the sound of one hand clapping. What sound does it make? Contemplate that. Praise you, Lord Jesus. So, and as you do this, your mind becomes empty and it becomes a passive mind. Now let's look at Proverbs 25:28. 25:28. That's 25:28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. I mean, you open your mind up like that, and just any sort of thing can come in. You have Christians that meditate, and we had this lady who went off someplace and came back to meditate. Teach folks how to meditate to become more spiritual. And I found out what she was doing. I was horrified, and she was a preacher's wife. And so I got her some books on the passive mind, and I talked to her, and I was like talking to that chair over there. And what I said to her was, if you keep messing with this, you're opening yourself up to forces that you don't understand, you have no conception of, and it can destroy you. And she laughed. And the other people laughed. And the sad thing is that it destroyed a lot of people. It destroyed marriages. It destroyed, the particular priest wife, he or she had, she divorced him, and she had a master's degree in divinity, and she went to another church and became the Christian education director, and couldn't understand why the church got upset when she was about 40 years old when she had a 22-year-old lover move in with her. And she just didn't understand why they wanted to fire her. And then she went off. She was going to, become a priest. And she went off to some other state and said, you know, well, they had turned her down. She applied in that diocese, and so she applied in the other diocese, and then she went out of this other diocese and said, well, my husband, they wouldn't let me on because of my husband. Well, somebody found out, and they wrote, said, oh, they sort of clued them in on some of the things that happened up here that she had neglected to tell them. So, now we're going to talk about the types of divination. And divination is the practice of trying to foretell the future or the unknown. There are lots of different ways. There's Shishan sticks. I'm sure I'm slaughtering that poor Chinese word. But they look like a bunch of fiddlesticks, you know. And you hold them up and you drop them on the ground and you sort of look at them and you see how they look. I told y'all last time about Harry, the voodoo. And he had a bunch of snake heads and rattlesnake fangs and bones and some other stuff in a little cup he'd shake and sort of roll out. And he'd look at the pattern these things made. Now, we laugh about that, but I saw this man come in, and he said, and he had lost something. I've forgotten exactly what now. I want to be careful. Anyway, the man had lost something. And Harry put his hand out for 50 cents. That was a lot of money then. Got 50 cents cash, and he shook the sheesh, and he put the bones out, and he threw a stick on the fire that had been soaked down in the mineral spring that had a lot of potassium in it, and it made all kind of funny-looking colors in the fireplace, and they were little sticks of pine twigs, and they made all kind of colored flames, and he stared at those, and he chanted a little bit, and he looked back at the thing. Then he looked at him, and he said, "I see a vision, and I see you wandering. I see you got drunk last night, and I see you wandering down by the big spring, and you fell behind the tree, and you lost it, and it's there." And so he went by the big oak tree. There it was. He picked it up. He also, I think, he looked at a watch. He didn't have a case on it. Watch the wheels move. But anyway, that's the Shishan sticks. And a lot of people, they're being used today by a lot of people. Tea leaves, everybody's heard of drinking the tea and swirling the leaves down and having somebody look in there and tell you a fortune among them. They have these people come at the tea house and they'll, after you drank your tea and you got a few leaves in the bottom, they'll swirl them around, make a pattern, and they'll read the pattern to you. The card laying, all kind of different card laying, tarot cards. Any of y'all ever seen tarot cards? I used to have some tarot cards. And the night I burned them, the demon came to call. Yeah. I burned them. Actually, I didn't burn them. I threw them in the trash can along with my whole occult library on tarot. And my son said, I'd like to have those books. They're real nice books. I'd like to have them in my library. And I said, no, they're bad books. You can't have them. And he said, well, I'm not going to read them. I'm not really interested in what's in them. They just look nice, and I'd like to have them. I mean, you all ever heard that? You know, yeah. I'm not really interested. I don't believe in it. I just, you know, just want to keep it. So I poured the coffee pot. My wife had made some coffee. I poured 8 ounces or 8 cups of coffee on top of the garbage can on top. I said, isn't that nice now? And so, and immediately, very shortly, almost immediately, the house began to be filled with the smell of formaldehyde. Now, I'd been using some formaldehyde downstairs to work, and my wife got very upset and told me, you know, that you release that formaldehyde in the house, you're going to kill all of us. And I went down, I got the formaldehyde, and what I'd been using with it, put it all outside, and it didn't help any. The odor got stronger, and my wife took the kids, and she went to the motel for the night, and it was winter time, and I propped all the windows open to try to get some air into the house, and it was cold, and I was on call that night, and the telephone, I had to answer the telephone, and I was lying there, and about 1 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, and the whole back wall of my bedroom was on fire. I mean, it was just fire, and right in the middle of that fire was a head, had eyes about this big, had big pointy little ears and a funny nose, and he stepped out of that flame, and he looked at me like he won't talk to me. I'd like to be able to say that I very calmly. I had a bookcase. We had a bookcase bed. I was up on top of the bookcase trying to push myself through the wall, saying, in the name of Jesus. Also, there was an odor of burning sulfur, too. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. Just like that, he was gone. Odor of the burning sulfur was gone. And the formaldehyde was gone. And that was what convinced me I wasn't dreaming. The formaldehyde smell was gone, too. The demon came to call. That was a divination spirit. Now, he wanted to talk to me. I wanted to talk to him. And I tell you, I got on my knees and prayed that night, and I went to the house to see if anything else in there that was with the occult. And I got rid of everything. Okay. Tarot cards, crystal ball, dowsing, which is a water witch. You know, that's when you hold a forked stick and you walk along and try to see if wait for it to turn down. For either, plumbers will get two clothes hangers and straighten them out and walk like this. And when they turn together, That means you walked over the water line. And lots of plumbers will do that. That's divination. That is done by a familiar spirit. Now, Brother Glenn was up at his father's farm, and the cistern went dry, the well went dry, and they could hear the water in there. And so his father sent for the neighbor who was a water diviner, a good Christian man who did it in the name of Jesus. And Brother Williams was with him, and so he said, "Do you mind if I walk along with you?" And Brother Williams and the man walked, and Brother Williams said, "Now." The stick would bend down. And he'd walk a little bit further, and Brother Williams say, "Now." The stick would bend down again. And they did this four or five times, and they located the stream of water, you know. And he said, "You don't want to know what I see." So he said, "Well, there's a big demon on the other side of you, and every time he reaches out his hand to bend that stick down, I say, 'Now.'" I thought that was interesting, but I've seen diviners work, and that stick will bend. Most folks say, "Well, they're really manipulating it some way or other," but no, stick bends. It's real. Okay. Table tipping. Well, what is table tipping? Well, that's when you get a table and you put something on the two legs and you ask it a question. It tips this way, yes. That way, no. Table tipping. And, it's just a sort of a poor man's Ouija board. And then as the, automatic writing, handwriting, you start writing automatically. There's the pendulum. Well, what is the pendulum? Well, I went into the emergency room at the hospital in my hometown, and there was a young lady in there who was the chief nurse, and I called her by name. And they said, "Oh, she's doing her witchcraft." I said, "She's doing what?" "Oh, yeah, when any pregnant lady comes in, then she takes a paper clip and straightens it out. It has a big end, a little end. She hangs it on a thread and holds it over her belly. And if the big end points towards her head, it's going to be a boy. And towards her feet, it's going to be a girl." I said, "Really now? Well, I mean, where does she start?" She said, "Well, she starts with it this way, and it turns." She said, "It always works. She's always right, Doc. No, we've never seen her wrong." I said, "Yeah. You ever stood in there and watched it?" "Oh, yeah, whenever I get a chance." I said, "Well, I hope you enjoyed it." "Why?" I said, "You cursed yourself, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. That's called divination, and it's forbidden by God, and it curses you for four generations when you do it." And they did not receive that very well. Palm reading. Read your palm. I once had a young gypsy girl who came in here who had gotten saved. And she was a fortune teller, and she read palms. And she was, quote, the seventh daughter born under the veil. And when her grandmother, who had been the economic mainstay of the family, was dying, and this young girl, or maybe it was her great-grandmother, I'm not sure, and this young girl was about 13 or 14, but she was the proper one, and she was called in. And they told that she was going to become the fortune teller, and they wanted her to accept the family spirit. And she did. And so something cold settled down on her, and she became a fortune teller. She eventually came to the Lord Jesus Christ and came in, and we cast this divination spirit out of her. And we had a fight to get it out, but she rebuked it, and it left. But she was a fortune teller, and she read palms. Somebody comes by and wants to read your palm, don't do it. There are games that you use. One is called the Ouija board. And it's a cute little game. And it is spelled O-U-I-J-A. And I was interested really what that word meant. Well, we, French, yes. Yacht. German, yes. That's where they derived the word. The Ouija board is the word Ouija means yes, yes. And it is and you can actually get that little thing to move and spell out things. I've been told people have said, "Ouija, where you get your power?" And it spells out Satan. But, I'm not that interested enough to ask Luigi to spell anything out for me because I don't want him in me. And if you're in the room when they're doing this, I mean, you just standing there. Not interested, don't care, you just happen to know some bystander. You'll come in. I had a deliverance minister's wife who was just curious. She wanted to see it work. And she was in there watching. We cast that thing out of her, it almost tore her throat out. And she's just innocent bystander. Other games, Mary work.
One time where we were working, Irma was the supervisor, and she was gone during lunch hour. Came back after lunch hour, and Irma walked in, and the girls were sitting around a table, and Irma never seen a Ouija board, but she realized what it was. And when Irma walked up to the table, and realized she started talking in tongues under her breath, and then it was time to go back to work. So Irma went back to her office, and one of the girls come back in the office and shut the door and stood in front of the door. And she said, "What were you doing when you walked up to the table? And Irma said, "Why?" She said, "Our Ouija board wouldn't work."
The other Merry Worth is a game. Now, these are all games that kids play at slumber parties. Ouija board, Merry Worth. Well, what is Merry Worth? They stand in front of the mirror and look at the mirror and say, Merry Worth, 13 times. Now, I don't know why Merry Worth, but that's the word that's used. And the demon will materialize in the mirror. I had a friend who's a deliverance minister from Minneapolis, who's no longer with us, tells a story that a group in Minneapolis, a group of youngsters were doing this, and the spirit materialized, came out, played the piano, and then went into one of the girls. And she got up immediately, left the meeting, and went down into the roughest section of Minneapolis, and she said it was like she'd been trained to be a prostitute her entire life. Now, the parents didn't see her for 3 years. People would tell us, we saw her down the street, and they'd be down there hunting for her, and they couldn't find her, and the people would say they had sighted her at various places. And the church started a program. They got into a small spirit-filled church, and they started a program of fasting and prayer, and they asked God to send the war angels and to bring her back. They brought her back. Brother went over. He cast the spirit, talked to her, cast the spirit out of her. And got her delivered. And then the problem was that the people in church wouldn't accept her. They didn't want that girl contaminating the girl. I mean, she'd been a whore down in the roughest section of Minneapolis for 3 years. No telling what she picked up down there. We don't want her contaminating our beautiful children. And so these people had to leave town and go someplace where somebody knew them. They were rejected by the church, but the child was restored. But that's what can happen to you. By lifting, have somebody stiff, try to lift them, levitation, pendulum, we talked about pendulum, spinning the bottle, various types of gambling games, seances. These things all happen at slumber parties. Dungeons and Dragons, okay. Those are all games that you need to stay away from. There's dozens of others. I need to move on. Clairvoyance. Now, clairvoyance is the ability to perceive things not in sight. And people who are clairvoyant consider it a gift from God, but it's not the God of the Bible. Precognition. Precognition means to be able to foretell events that are going to happen. Somebody says, "Aunt Mary's going to send us a letter today," and the postman, "Aunt Mary ain't written in 6 months," and the postman pulls up and goes down, there's a letter in the mailbox for Aunt Mary. Say, "Yeah." That may be precognition. I think the most striking example I've ever seen of precognition, we were ministering once, and a group of people came over and asked us to come over and minister to a young man at their home who was deeply in witchcraft and was alcoholic and was threatening suicide. So three of us went over there, and he was not interested in deliverance. He was not interested. And we were getting ready to leave, and he said, "Mary, you want on the telephone?" And then the phone rang, and it was for Mary. Well, he called out at least 5 seconds before that phone rang. He said, "Mary, you want on the telephone?" Phone rang, picked it up, it's for Mary. That's precognition. Foretelling a future event, knowing what's going to happen in the future. Told to him by a familiar spirit. Handwriting analysis. You ever had your handwriting analyzed? stargazing, astrology, horoscopes, and zodiacs. Let's open your Bibles to Isaiah 47. Most folks who are addicted to horoscopes always want a scripture, and they won't accept one that says the host of heaven. So let's look at Isaiah 47 and see what it says. Isaiah 47, verse 13. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Now let the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from these things that shall come upon you. Behold, they shall be as stubble, and the fire shall burn them, and they cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. Now that one is pretty specific, and you need to read it to your friends, your Christian friends, who say that there's nothing in the Bible against the horoscope. Astrology, horoscopes, zodiacs. You know, I have lots of good Christian people tell me that they read the horoscope, but they don't really believe it. They're not really interested. They just want to know what it says. They just want to see what it says. Now I'll tell you, you know, I told you how God feels about this. He considers it a type of spiritual adultery. Now, you ladies would be very upset if your husbands came home and said to you, honey, I stopped by the whorehouse on the way home. You know, I'd never been there, and I just wanted to see what it was like. They didn't mean anything to me, but I just stopped in to see what it was like. You might be a little upset. You might be a little. Now, that's the way God considers you reading the horoscopes. Husbands, same thing. Your wives tell you. They had the gigolo come by. Their friends had been doing it. They just want to see what it was like. Didn't mean anything to them. Okay. That's how God feels about it. When you get ready to look at that horoscope, remember how your Almighty God feels about it. He feels very strongly about it. He wants you to desire Him passionately, and Him alone. Praise you, Lord. I have people ask me about that. That's planning by seasons of the moon. And I don't recommend it. There are a number of people who argue with you about it. I have no specific experience with that, other than it does not witness to my spirit. Other people do not agree with me on that. And we talked about hypnosis and mind reading. I want you to look at 2 Chronicles, chapter 6, verse 30. All right, 2 Chronicles 6, 30. It says, when you hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive, and give everyone according to his own ways, whose hearts you know, for you alone know the hearts of men. The devil can't read your mind. God alone can read your mind and know what you are thinking. The devil can put thoughts in your mind. He can steal the word out of your mind. But he doesn't know what you're thinking. He can come and steal this word out. We had this young lady that I took through deliverance, and we'd had a beautiful service the day before, and I'd witnessed. And then she came in the next day, and anyway, we drove out a number of demons, and they manifested and so forth. And she sat up, and she was talking to me, and she said, you know, the thought came into my mind that what you were saying was not true, and I was not going to believe it. And I shook my head, and I said, where'd that come from? That's what she said. I shook my head and said, where'd that come from? Of course I'm going to believe it. But that was the enemy putting a thought in her mind. But he can't read your mind. So, for when you know what you're going to do, you don't have to tell him.
Amen.
If you put it in the airwaves, he knows what you're going to do.
Right.
But he can't read your mind and figure it out. That's just an aside. Hypnosis, mind reading, devil can't read your mind. He can only know what you're going to say. But he can put thoughts in your mind that you think are his. And therefore, you'll think he's reading your mind. Now, there are certain demonic skills that are practiced by witches that, if you practice these, I mean, you're way into it. Astral projection, that means being able to project yourself leave your body and travel, project yourself into another situation. Lots of salesmen will project you into trying to buy the car, will visualize you visiting the car. Soul travel, that means to be able to have your soul leave and spirit leave your body and travel to another place. These things are possible, people. Materialize. Now, you remember in Acts 8, 35 to 40, we won't turn there because the time's getting short. Stephen materialized. God picked him up here and put him here. The devil has a counterfeit for that, too. That's scary, but it's people who are really into witchcraft. Get into that. Thought projection, they can project your thought. If you've been involved in any of these things, God considers it sin. And we need to confess it as sin. We need to renounce it, break the curse on you and your children forever, and then demand the demons to come out of you. Visualization, that's sort of an astral projection. When you start visualizing something to happen and visualizing it and trying to force it to happen, trying to see it to happen, then this requires demonic force. It's a tool been used by the shamans for years. People tell me to visualize. I get very, very cautious. They're good people who mean well, and they'll say, I want you to visualize this. And they want you to visualize this picture. And say, well, but if you start talking about projecting, astral projection, visualizing something and projecting yourself into it. I had this person I knew, was traveling, you know, his wife was wondering whether or not we were traveling with his wife or not. She had turned off her stereo. He said, well, let me see. And he visualizes the living room and he looks and projects himself into that and he said, hey, stereo's on. He turns it off. Name of Jesus.
I renounce the occult.
Witchcraft. Magic. Seances. Clairvoyances. Mediums. Ouija boards. And all occult games. All fortune telling. And all occult games. All astrology and horoscopes. All reincarnation and healing groups involved in metaphysics. I renounce all hypnosis. Mind reading. Mind control. Second sight. ESP.
And
automatic writing. I renounce astral projection. Soul travel. Thoughts. Projection,
projection,
and other demonic skills.
All mind control,
power of positive thinking,
positive control
salesmanship, and demonic power to impose my will on others. I renounce all sorcery
and
all dependence on talisman.
I vow that I will destroy
idols to foreign gods,
talisman,
good luck charms,
or
other abominations
on
my person,
under my control.
The scripture for that is Deuteronomy 7:25, I think. Deuteronomy 7:25 and 26. Okay. You need to read that scripture. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
I renounce all literature
I've ever read in any of these fields.
And declare
I will destroy them.
Those that are on my possession.
Under my control.
I break all curses.
Hexes, spells, and jinxes.
Charms.
Placed on me from occult sources.
I break the curse of illegitimacy and incest.
On my family line.
On my family line. for 10 generations. I break the curse of idolatry and whoredom off my family line. Renounce any oaths all my ancestors ever made to any foreign God. In the name of Jesus, I break all curses of psychic heredity. All mental and physical illness curses. I break any ungodly soul ties to anyone who's ever dominated me or controlled me in any way contrary to the will of God. Lord Jesus, I confess I've committed sexual sin. I ask forgiveness
of
the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I confess that I have committed the following. This time you just sit quietly and look straight ahead, and if God brings anything to mind that you need to confess, do it quietly under your breath. Your word says we confess our sin. You're faithful and just. Forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for your cleansing. Lord, I confess there are certain people that I have not forgiven. They hurt me. I'm mad at them. And I hold resentment against them.
I do now forgive
all those people. And we wait a few minutes, and if God brings anybody to mind that you're mad at, that you hold resentment against, that hurt you, stole you from you, or in any way, you just mention, I forgive Johnny, Joan, Jim, Jack. I ask you to bless them abundantly and bring them to salvation in the name of Jesus. I do now forgive myself. Thank you, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. Thank you.